What's his name? So I won't even have to introduce you in the weeks to come. They already know who you are. And tell me, what do you do, Michael?
I'm a resident physician at Naval Hospital Camp Pendleton.
He looks too young to be a doctor, wouldn't you say? Whatever it is, you need to share it with us, all right, so we can have some of it.
Sure.
It's called the Fountain of Youth. You see what good living will do? Amen. All you have to do is carry the mic around and make sure it's on. And I figured he could handle this, all right? Thank you. So you can just stand right there. And what I want someone to look up is John 14, 1 through 3. And Michael's going to take the mic to you. And all you have to do is just read the scripture. Revelation 22, 7. Someone can look that up. And Matthew 26, 64. I don't want to ever become predictable. You thought I had just a regular sermon today, didn't you? Well, we'll do a little different today. I want you to bring your Bibles. I want us to get accustomed to bringing our Bibles. Sometimes we bring it and we never read it, but you'll read it today. John 14, 1 through 3, and Revelation 22, 7, and Matthew 26, 64, and then we'll just have you raise your hand and Michael will have you read the scripture. Those are the first three. I would venture to say that you, most of you, would agree with this statement I'm about to make, that Michael Jordan is undoubtedly the greatest basketball player to ever lace up a pair of sneakers. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd get much argument about that. But I don't think Michael Jordan, with all of his talents, would want us to remember his comeback. And last week or so, one of the most fearsome fighters in the history of boxing, not the greatest, but at least feared, Mike Tyson, was knocked out by someone I don't even know their name. It's hard to make a comeback. For some of you who have had a serious illness, you know how difficult it is to come back from it. And it takes a lot of effort. It can zap a lot of energy out of you. It's difficult to make a comeback. In 1999, they tried a Woodstock comeback. It was the 30th anniversary of the famous psychedelic music festival. And they tried to duplicate the famous Woodstock. And so they had drugs and sex and rock and roll. And that certainly was a part of the other. I'm not endorsing this as much as I'm just sharing with you what they had. And in 99, as they tried to make a comeback, the crowd got restless and tired, and soon they didn't like what was going on, especially since they had paid $150 per person. And when they were running out of water, and they were selling water for $4 for a few ounces and $4 for a pretzel, it wasn't the Woodstock that most people remembered. And so by the next day, most of them were gone. And this is what the promoters had to say about Woodstock 99. He had a press conference, and he said he was perplexed by the fires, by the looting, and by the rapes that went on at Woodstock 99. And he said, of course, he was hoping that the getting together would just be an opportunity to give peace a chance and make a few dollars also. But things didn't quite turn out that way. And he seemed very clueless as to what had went wrong with the big love-in, remembering Woodstock, the older Woodstock. What probably went wrong is it's very difficult to come back. It's very difficult to reproduce the original. And someone had said about this Woodstock 99, maybe the old Woodstock, the original, was an event that was not worth commemorating. Think about that. Think about it. Jesus is coming back. You may think that that's a popular subject because of all the Left Behind books that you see in Costco's and all the other places. But as a general rule, that is not a theme that people talk about. And in fact, Jesus is coming back is ignored. And what made me think about this, and a continuation on last week's sermon, where there were two basic ideas that I wanted you to remember about hope. And the first was, anybody remember? I heard somebody out there say it. Say it. Who could say it? I hope somebody knows it. Or I'll let me know that I failed last week. It begins with a C, certainty. And what was the next word? Continuity. All right. I hope. Thank you. I was hoping somebody remembered what we talked about. Those were the things about hope. What led me to continue this sermon was that if the church body, whose very name has in it the second coming, if we are not excited about it, how in the world can we generate that excitement to someone else? So I thought we'd continue talking about the second coming of Jesus. Fallbrook, is it all right to talk about the second coming? Most of us know the text, and when you're studying the second coming, one of the things that we all talk about, and it's a Bible fact, is that he will return. That's a definite fact about the second coming. We see that in the Bible, and that's what we see in John 14. Someone read that for me. Let me see your hands. Just lift your hands, and Michael's going to come to you. Anyone? John 14. All right. Thank you, Kim. John 14, 1 through 3.
Let not your...
Oh, that's not Kim. I'm sorry. That's Gene. Okay.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, but you also believe in my Father's house and many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. But where I am, there you may be also.
The fact, Jesus is coming. Agreed? Say amen. Would you agree to that? The Bible is very explicit. Revelation 22:7. Raise your hand. Okay, got several places to go. Okay, Fran. Raise your hand, Fran, so I can see you. Okay, that's Fran, everybody. It's one of my classmates. All right. Is Jesus coming? It's a fact. The Bible speaks of that. Matthew 6:26-64. Raise your hand.
Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.
It's certain. He's coming, and the Bible is explicit about how certain it is. So we know the facts about him, his coming. It states there in the scripture. Another thing that we study, and you know this all the time, we study about the world conditions regarding his coming. And that's Matthew 24:6-7. I need someone to look that up. And while they're looking that up, I want you to find 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 2 and 3. You might want to put a star by that one. That's such an important text. So Matthew 24:6-7. All right. Okay. Did you find someone to read that? Okay, there's little Pete over there. And all right.
You will hear.
good job, Pete. Thank you. That sounds like today. That text matches what's happening today. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, and 3. Anyone found that yet? Anyone found that? Okay. Thessalonians is a little harder to find. We'll give you a moment. Okay. All right. Right. Okay, he's got somebody in the back. Bev, he has some. I think he does. If not, Doc, we have, okay, we got somebody. Okay. Jan. Quite a text, isn't it? And then, so we know about the facts that he comes. We know about the world conditions of his coming. But one of the things that I want you to remember, if you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to remember this. Jesus looked down through the portals of time and saw that the issue that we need to remember most of all was the manner of his coming. This is the area where people will be deceived. How is he coming? The manner of his coming. And we'd like to look at texts that have to do with that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. If you'll turn there. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. And while that's being turned to, Matthew 24 and verses 23 through 26. Acts 1 and 11. Bev, you want to read that? Doc, up front here. All right, thank you so much. He's coming personally, and you will see him. It's not a spiritual eye, it's real. Isn't that what the Bible says? And you'll see that again, the visibleness of it in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 23 through 26. I need someone to find that for me. This is a very important verse. If you have your Bibles out, I want everybody to look at this passage. Matthew 24 and verses 23 through 26.
One says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. What I want you to do, if you have a pen and you don't mind writing in your Bible, you either want to underline this passage or put a star by this. Of all the passages in the scripture, you want to make sure you know. Now, you saw the title of my sermon. It's listed there. I don't want you to miss. This is so connected with what's going to happen one day, and you do not want to be deceived. If it's telling you not to go there, then you shouldn't go. Correct? You got to remember, this is so important. Put a star by this. Don't ever forget this passage of Scripture. So important. And then Revelation 1 and verse 7. Want to see another passage? Most of you know that passage, Revelation 1 and verse 7. Anyone? We hear the pages turning this Sabbath. All right, Michael, up here, I think Joe... Even so, what? Amen. How many eyes are going to see him? A few. Now, you're supposed to come back and say all, right? I'm checking you out. How many eyes will see him? Every eye, all. Everybody's going to see him. You got to know these things because there's coming a time when we will actually, the devil will try to deceive us. And surprisingly, with so much in the Bible that has to say about the second coming, how in the world can people be taken by surprise? But the Bible says that we will. Matthew 24 and verses 38 and 39. Need someone to read that for me. 24 verses 38 and 39. Okay. Okay, George in the back. Okay.
For the day before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man.
People are going to be taken by surprise. Well, I don't want anybody here at the Fallbrook Church to be taken by surprise. No excuses here. George, since you did so well, read verses 43 and 44, since Michael is right there. That way we won't have to move you over. Move him again.
Understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect it.
Be taken by surprise. He will come personally, visibly. And believe it or not, people are going to be taken by surprise. But I am thankful for this point about the second coming. He's coming glorious and triumphant. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. I need someone to find that for me. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Give you a chance to find it. Thessalonians is a little harder to find in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. Okay. Him. Okay. First Thessalonians 4, verse
16. Amen.
She read a few more verses, but that, you get the context. He's coming with power and great glory when he comes. The title of my sermon as I end it is What You See is What You Get. As a passage that you need to remember is from 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. You don't have to look it up as much as you need to remember it. Where you at, Doc? You can come. You can have a seat. Let's give Doc an amen. Thank you so much. I figured I could pick on you, and you were a good sport for that. Thank you so much. What's his name, everybody?
Michael.
What's his name?
Michael.
All right, Michael. They got you now. All right, you can't do no wrong. We all know your name. Verse 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. The Bible says, now I said the title of my sermon was What You See is What You Get. It says that there coming a time when Satan himself will be transformed into an angel of light. That's why we have to be careful in these last days. There's coming a time, I want to read something from The Great Controversy, 6:24. Fearful sights of the supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heavens as a crowning act in the great drama of deception. Satan will personate Christ. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in Revelation 1, 13 through 15. Shouts of triumph rings out, and it says, Christ has come, Christ has come, Christ has come. And the people prostrate themselves in adoration before him. And he lifts his hands and pronounces a blessing upon them. What you see is what you get. You cannot go. If you hear about Jesus coming on the news, do not go. Do not look. And what I'm saying, sometimes I'm almost hesitant about preaching about this thing because it almost seems like it has to. This can't be true. Jesus is coming soon. Let me read something, say something, and then we'll be gone. How many of you have heard of Harry Truman? Well, this is another Harry Truman. This is Harry Truman of Mount St. Helens Lodge in Washington State. 84-year-old Harry Truman, who had been warned about an imminent eruption of the mountain. But old Harry refused all attempts to go to safety. He loved his beloved mountain, and Harry would boast that there's nothing that the mountain could do to scare me off. He felt safe because he had been there for 54 years. And then he said that he bragged that no one knows the mountain like me, and it would not dare blow up on me. But the morning of May 18th, 1980, an explosion 2,500 times more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima exploded on Mount St. Helens and took Harry and a dozen others and buried them in mud and debris. They risked their lives and lost. The warning came, but they resisted. There's a quote from Medical Ministry that I'd like to read. The time is at hand when Satan will work miracles to confirm minds in the belief that he is God. And the only hope for anyone is to hold fast the evidences that have confirm the truth and righteousness. Let these be proclaimed over and over again until the close of earth's history. That's why I'm preaching about the second coming. We have to hear it over and over and over. Not because you can't remember texts, and I'm trying to insult your intelligence. Not because I don't have other things to preach. Sometimes I used to think, as a preacher, I said, now, he didn't have anything else to get together last night, so he came up with the second coming. Don't think that way. This is brought that we would not be deceived. You see, if you go and look at what you're not supposed to, what you see is what you get. I don't know about you, but I want to see the real Jesus one day. How about you? I'm not going through all this to see the wrong one and bow down to the wrong one. And I was looking to try and find out how, and I didn't say this in the first service because my time was gone, but I'm going to take about 1 minute to say this. How would I know the difference? I mean, same area of great controversy. It says that after the prostrating before Satan, he pronounces that he has changed the Sabbath. Did you get that? And you can't buy into that because you know what the Word of God says. Amen? I want to meet the real Jesus. And what you see is what you get when he comes back. I want to go and be with him. How about you? I want to have microscopic and telescopic eyes that Adam had. I want to grow up to be 12 feet tall. I want to have a mind so I won't forget a lot of things that I forget. And let me read this as I close. I know this is one not those shouting kind of sermons. I'll preach a little louder the following week. Amen. But let me read this. The resurrection of Jesus was a type of the final resurrection of all who sleep in him. The countenance of the risen Savior, his manner, his speech were all familiar to his disciples. As Jesus arose from the dead, so those who sleep in him are to rise again. And we shall know our friends, even as the disciples knew Jesus. They may have been deformed, diseased, or disfigured, but in this mortal life, and they rise in perfect health and symmetry. Yet in the glorious bodies, their identity will be perfectly preserved. When we see Jesus, we shall be as he is. You'll recognize me, and I want to recognize you. Wouldn't it be a tragedy that we have sat in the church together as the Fallbrook family? We've sat right next to someone in the same church. We get to the kingdom of God, and you don't even know who that is. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? That's some reason, that's somewhat why we have these things around our neck. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. It's like being in a classroom with somebody for a whole semester. You know, if I sit next to someone in class, in any class that I'm in, I always make it a point to know who their name is. I think it's a tragedy that you could sit next to someone, and that happens in church all the time. When we get to the kingdom, I want you to know who I am. Amen. I want to recognize you. I don't want to have sat in Fallbrook or preached for so many years in Fallbrook and I don't even know who you are. If that's the case, I probably won't be there. That's why we're doing this. Maybe when Jesus comes, this church that has the very name Advent, we'll be ready for his coming. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful truth. Not a truth so that we can argue. Not a truth so that we can have one up on those who believe differently. But a truth that says we'll meet you and we'll be just like you. Lord, come quickly. Lord, come and come for everyone who is here today. Help us not to be deceived. You've warned us that the deceiving is coming. When it comes, we won't be wise enough. Our Bible knowledge won't save us, but knowing you will. So we want to know you in that knowledge. So bless us and give to this church with the name Adventist a true spirit that we're going to be with you. We thank you and we praise your name that you are coming back for us. We thank you that you love us that much. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to conclude our service today.